First of all, welcome back to everybody. If the Yontif, I guess it's really apropos that as we just finished the Yontif of Sukkot, that we have our eyes already on the ball towards the next Yontif, of course, the Yontif of Pesach. So we continue with our sugyas of Masechet Pesach, and we get right back into the swing of things. We're back to the sugyas of Bedikas Chametz. So we take a look at the first of the Marmikomos. So we are continuing along the lines of the previous sugya in terms of the relationship of a maskir and a socher, someone who is we spoke a lot about how it relates to Chaz Mezuzah, because there were certain similarities, certain differences between Mezuzah and B'dikas Chametz. And now we get right back into B'dikas Chametz proper. So the Gemara begins on the first letter of Amikomos, and Pesachim Dalet Alef Tanina. A maskir b'ayis techaveh, we learned the Braisa, that teaches us that if I rent a house, if the keys to the house have not yet been handed over to the tenant, then the chiyuv is on the maskil, the chiyuv is on the owner, on the landlord, to do the b'dikas chametz. However, if the keys were already handed over, so then the requirement is incumbent upon the seicher. So it's clear for the Gemara that the factor, perhaps the only factor, or at least the primary factor, to determine whose practical obligation is it to do B'dikas Chametz, is it a chiyuv that's mutal, that's incumbent upon the masker and the socher? The bottom line is it all depends on who has the keys, who's holding onto the keys at the critical key moment, no pun intended, key moment in time. Since the chiyuv of B'dikas Chametz takes effect on Leil Arbasa or Labasa B'dikas Chametz, the Mishnah tells us, whoever is in possession of the keys to the house at the time of when Leil Yadalit kicks in, when the night of the 14th begins, he is the one who is obligated to do B'dikas Chametz. And the question becomes, why should that be so? Why should the Mesiris HaMavteach be so critical? So there's a three-way Machlekes Rishonim, and that's really going to set up for us the beginning of the Sugya. What is it about the handing over the keys that is so important? If we take a look at the first of the Ramakomos, the second paragraph of the first of the Ramakomos is Rashi. Mesiris Mavteach. So Rashi tells us who kinyan has chirus. So Rashi relates this halacha in B'dikas Chametz, the central pivotal role of the keys, to a halacha in Dinim Amanus. Namely, tachlis, bottom line, has this chirus taken effect in terms of Dinim Amanus or not? Has there been an actual starting of the schirus process in terms of cheshem mishpat? How do I know whether the schirus has begun? Let's say, for example, if I say to you, can I please rent an apartment? You say, okay, great. Therefore, what makes that deal binding? If I want to back out from it, I can back out. You want to back out, you can back out. So just as we know, as in regular kinyanim, if I say to you, I'd like to buy a house, you say, great. That's meaningless, worthless in halacha. There is an idea of a person keeping one's word. We want to encourage people to be honest, that's true. But in terms of pure dinim amanus, just because I agreed to buy or sell the house, that's pretty much meaningless in halacha. The same is true when it comes to renting. If I say, can I please rent your car for a week? You say, great. Nothing happened. I say, can I rent the house? And you say, great. And nothing happened. So then that deal has not yet been finalized. So what is it that finalizes the deal? Rashi says very clearly, Mesiris HaMavteach is the Kinyan Schirus. And therefore, according to Rashi, it's obvious. Once the Kinyan Schirus has taken place, once the Schirus has taken effect, so then the mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz will follow suit. Rashi continues, V'im ad shelo mosar mavteach nechas el ha-bosar, if the Mesiris HaMavteach has not yet occurred and the 14th has begun, chalo chavis ha-bdika la-maskir. And the maskir, the landlord, becomes obligated to do B'dikas Chametz. Nine ha-yisim b'chshusay, the also still his. Even if he subsequently hands over the keys on the following morning, once the chiyuv has taken place, once the obligation has set in, then it's not going to change, it's not going to transfer to another person. According to Rashi, it's very clear that the chiyuv bedika follows suit to the rules of the Dinamunis as to what is the formal kinyan haschirus. So comes Tosus in the second Amar comes and takes issue with Rashi. Pirush Rashi, the Mesiris HaMavteach is koyde. Rashi's entire premise is that Mesiris HaMavteach is a Kenyan. So Tosus says that is not correct. Tosus questions that very premise. Venir Lari. Amar b'Meruba, Kishem Shekaka Niknes B'Kesef B'Shtar B'Chazaka. The Gemara in the seventh Berachah of Avakama makes the following equation. How do you buy karka? Forget about how you rent karka. How do you buy real estate? So the Gemara makes reference to the Mishnah in the first Berachah of Sos Kedushin. The karka can be acquired in one of three ways. Either through kesef, through giving cash. Now giving cash doesn't mean that you have to give the full amount of cash. Let's say I'm buying a piece of land for $500,000. It doesn't mean that I have to give you a down payment the entire $500,000. I can give you a very, very small amount, even as little as a pruta, and I will be kona that land. That's a kinyan kesef. How do we know that kinyan kesef is a valid mechanism of acquiring lands? So that's a Mishnah in the first Berachah Kedushin. The Gemara derives it from Sukkim, the Torah. There is a fascinating lomdish machloikis, the Gedolei HaPoskim, how to understand the mechanics of that halacha. How is it that I could buy a piece of land that's worth $1 million, but give me a quarter? How does that practically work? That's a big machlekes apaiskin. So the Sma, in his comments in Cheshir Mishpat, the Sma wrote on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Cheshir Mishpat, like we have the Taz, the Magen Avraham and Arachayim, so you have the Sma in the Cheshir Mishpat, the Sma in the Shach and Cheshir Mishpat. So the Sma writes that the only way to buy land with giving cash is to pay for the full amount of the land. So therefore, when I give you a quarter, I'm paying you the full amount. Kind of joke is that, you know, paying the full amount. The land is worth $1 million. So the Sma says, well, we view it as follows. We view it as if I gave you the full $1 million, and then you lent me back $1 million minus a quarter. So now, Lemaisa, I owe you $1 million minus a quarter as a chov, as a loan, as a milva, so to speak. But in terms of the pirot, in terms of the shavius, in terms of the value of the land, when I gave you the quarter, it was halachically equivalent of me signing off and giving you actually $1 million. Because the Sma understood there's no way to practically buy land without paying, quote unquote, the full amount. So the Taz disagrees with this. The Taz says that the mechanism of buying land through the vehicle of a pruta, which Gemara says you can do, is not based on kesef shavius. It's not based on the value. It's a joke. The land is not worth a quarter. The land is worth $1 million. So how does it work? Says the Taz, because the basic premise of the Sma is not correct. Says the Taz, you don't have to pay for the land. You simply have to go through a symbolic gesture, a halachically acceptable symbolic gesture, which is derived from something called kinyan kesef. And as long as you gave halachic kesef, kesef of course is defined always by a pruta, minimum of a pruta. Since you gave a pruta, that is the kinyan kesef that the halacha requires. So kinyan kesef is not a demei hashavius, the value of the item. Rather, kinyan kesef is a, we call it halacha maisa kinyan. It's a symbolic act that now serves as an effective way of buying land. The Taz has a fascinating raya to this understanding. The Taz says that if the Sma would be right, that you have to pay the value of the item that you're buying, so how in the world would you explain the notion of Kedushin? The Torah says you can be Mekadosh Yidushin with Kesef, and in fact, the source of Kedushin Kesef working is derived from Kinyan Karka, just as Avraham Avinu bought the land from Ephron with a kinyan kesef, so too, kika chishisha, it says the word kicha by marriage, it says the word kicha by marasa machpela. So kicha, kicha, miste Ephron, it's the Gemara Kedushin of Beis. So comes the Taz and says, and the Sma is right, that you have to pay for the value of the item. How in the world are you going to pay for the value of the wife? You can tell me that your wife is worth a pruta. If you say that, then you may not be except back in the house after the shir. Those are not in the house for the shir. Those are in the house for the shir may find themselves outside in the rain in a minute. So you can't put a value, you can't put a number, numerical value on your wife's quote unquote value. And therefore, how could the Torah give us this model of kinyan kesef by kedushin if kinyan kesef by kedushin and kinyan kesef by karka are really synonymous with one another? The Taz says, Al Korchach, what's taking place in Kinyan Kesef is not a value, but rather a symbolic gesture. So that's a big machlokes in terms of lumdus, and again, it sets the stage for much tayrus that are said, both in terms of Kinyan Kesef of Karka, as well as in terms of Kinyan Kedushin. But for our purposes, it's sufficient to say that there is a Kinyan Kesef, that's a Mishnah, it's a Gemara, that Karka can be acquired with Kesef. And the Gemara says in Meruba, in the Ayin Tes and Mevakama, that just as Karka can be acquired with kesef, so too karka can be rented with kesef. And then the Gemara continues, the Braisa says, just as karka can be acquired with shtar, another mechanism of acquiring land is to a shtar. the source for Kiddin Shtar is actually a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyahu, but the Pesukim describe the Nevuah, the Mishbrachu tells Yirmiyahu right before the Churban to go and buy land in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. So Yirmiyahu was startled. This is not a very good time to invest in real estate. And he turns to Kiddin Shbarach when he says, the Bavli and the Kastim are about to attack the land, the Jewish people are about to go to Golos, and I'm buying land. Kiddush Baruch Hu says, yep. You, if you didn't believe that the Jewish people would come back, then it would be a very poor investment. But if you know that the Jews are coming back in a few years, 70 years, they'll be back already again. But it's a very, well, why will the price be low? So go, it's a good market now for the buyer. So Kiddush Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu that he should actually go and purchase land right now. So the Pesukim then record exactly how Yirmiyahu did it. How did he go about step by step purchasing this land? So one of the things that the Pesukim and the Navi describe is that the Chasuba Sefer V'Chasum, and he wrote up a document and he had Adam sign the document and then they stored away the document. So the Pesukim describe at great length the preparing of documents for the purposes of buying and selling land. The Gemara in Kiddushin says this is the source that Karka is Nikda Bishtar. So the Ramban writes in his comments in Sefer Mitzvahs, even though these Pesukim are only Pesukim in Nevi'im, one should not misunderstand this to mean that this is only a Kinyan Midderabbanan. This is the real nice Kinyan Midderais, and there are many, many Dinim that are recorded in Nevi'im Uksuvim. As the Gemara says in several places, not that there's a source, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechadish to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the idea of a Kinyan Shtar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give us new halachas to the Nevi'im. Rather, there are many pre-existing halachas that are described in the Nevi'im. Say, Lahava of Abdullah, if you would be writing a storybook right now about events that are taking place in your day, so you would make reference to pre-existing concepts. So if you were writing a story about the Jewish community in Tinek right now, so you may write about, oh, the Jews sat in the sukkah last week, and Jews celebrated Shmini Atzeres this past week. So does that mean, oh, in Tinek in 2020, the mitzvah sukkah began? It's ridiculous. I mean, you're telling a story about institutions that have existed for thousands and thousands of years. So to Lahavdil, when the Nevi'im are writing the Nevuas, so they're referencing pre-existing institutions, pre-existing concepts, pre-existing practices that have been around since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So in the Pesukim we're describing what's the standard of buying land. This is not something that Yirmiyahu HaNavi all of a sudden woke up one morning and say, what a great idea, let's buy land with Shtar. Yirmiyahu HaNavi is just simply doing what had been done for the last 1,000 years since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what the Ramban argues, that the Kenyan of Shtar is surely a Kenyan on a level of Deraisa. And then the Gemara makes reference to a Kenyan Chazacha. Another way to acquire land is, if I say to you, go to my backyard and go improve the land a little bit, go fix the fence, go dig a hole for something, go fix up the karka a little bit, do some kind of a tikkun karka. That's also considered to be a Kenyan karka. The Gemara derives that from Sukkim as well. So the Braisa says in one fell swoop, whatever methods of Kenyanim are acceptable for the Mechiras Gufa karka are similarly acceptable for Sechiras karka as well. So the Braisa delineates the three methods of acquisition of land as well as rental of land: Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. And nothing else is on the list. So comes Tosfos and says, if nothing else is on the list, that means nothing else is true. The Leyamina Tosfos continues in the Sechalai, the Leyamina the Mahani Messias Mafteach. He says, the reason why it doesn't make the list is because it's not true, because Messias Mafteach is not a Kenyan karka. So if it's not a Kenyan karka, it's not going to be a Kenyan. In Sechiras, only these three ways are the way to buy land as well as to rent land. So what is Mesiras Mafteach? Ella command the Amalei Chazek Ukriki Abir Rappara. So Mesiras Mafteach is not a non-entity system. So it does mean, it has significance in Halacha, but not all the way Rashi presented it. What Mesiras Mafteach means is as follows. There is a din that appears in the fifth brach of Bekama. When I get ready to sell you something, so it has to be very, very clear that I'm agreeing to the sale. You can't have as follows. You can't have the following scenario that, let's say I'm having a discussion with you on Tuesday morning at 6:30 in the morning about the possibility of selling you my house. So you know, we're talking about it a little bit, and you know, we're discussing maybe in the future I'll sell you the land, it's possible. And then a week later, you come into my house and you do a kiddush chazaka on the house. There's no connection between the agreement, between the discussion, between the authorization and the ma'aseh kiddush that you did. So how in the world do we ever know that I really approved, I really agreed to the sale? The Gemara says that you have to have what's called lechazeku kni, that the meich there has to actually authorize the lekeach to do the following. Lech chazeku kini, go and do it. Go and do the chazaka. So comes the Gemara of a comment that's been days and says that what if the Moicha didn't say those words? It's not a script you have to read. It's not Lashna Kodesh. You have to read, say the magic words, Lech chazeku kini. You have to either say those words or make some kind of a demonstration that you as the Moicha are more than happy authorizing that Lech chazeku kini, even without uttering those words. The Gemara says, what if I hand you the keys to the house? So, you know, we were discussing for the last week the possibility of selling the house. I said, you know what, let me sleep on it now. I'll come back tomorrow morning, we'll further discuss it. I wake up in the morning and I hand you the keys. That's tantamount the same. Lech chazeku kini, even though I didn't utter those words, why else did I give you the keys to the house? So that's what the Gemara says in Mamakama. Lech chazeku kini is not meaningless, but it can be viewed as an authorization to sell, but it's not the sale itself. It also says, both from the Gemara and Baba Kama Daf Ayin Tes and the Gemara and Baba Kama Daf Mem Beis, you get the very clear impression that Mesiras Maftech, although sometimes important, is definitely not the final word. It's definitely not the Maisa Kinyan. So what is going on in the Gemara? If Mesiras Maftech is not like Rashi says, it's not the Kinyan Tzchiras, so then what role is it playing in determining whether you are or not Chayav B'Dikas Chametz? On the first read, so Tos continues by saying, what happened is as follows, that I gave you the keys to the house, there was no kinyan made. There was no kesef, there was no shtar, there was no chazacha. The Siris HaMavtech is not a kinyan at all. There was no kinyan. So why should that make a difference in terms of Bikas Chametz? Umi sheyesh b'yadu mavtech, kishachal yudalan, chayev levdoik. Says Tosfos, it doesn't matter whether you were kone of the house. It doesn't matter whether the rental agreement has officially halachically began. It doesn't make a difference that the one who has the keys, he's the one who's obligated to do b'dikas chametz. Also, she'en b'yad mavteach, echi kanes v'yavdech. How in the world should a person who doesn't have, I guess, the idea of a duplicate key didn't exist in Tosfos' days. All the keys must have sat on them in big ball. Do not duplicate. So Tosfos says there's only one set of keys. And it's the person who's about to rent this house. The sale, the rental hasn't even begun technically, but it's omid lekach because the soch is holding onto the keys. It says Tosfos, whoever has the keys has to do b'dikas chametz. Because otherwise, how could Chazal formulate such a silly takana? I'm going to formulate a takana, do b'dikas chametz. So the guy, the balabas, comes to the rabbi and he says, thank you, Rabbi, for telling me, look, I don't have the keys. What am I supposed to do? Break the door down? So obviously, when Chazal entered the b'dikas chametz, they formulated the takana. The one who has the keys should be the one doing the b'dikas chametz. So comes tells and says, the Siris HaMavtech is the kiveh, it is the determining factor as to who's doing b'dikas chametz, but not like Rashi because the Siris HaMavtech is the kinyan, but rather because the Siris HaMavtech is just the practical aspect that only such a person has the ability to do the b'dikas chametz. And then Tosfos takes a little bit of a back pedal. Tosfos says, according to what we just said, that you can have a chiv of b'dikas chametz even though you don't technically. You don't, not only do you not own the house, you haven't even begun the rental yet. You can back out for the rental. The rental hasn't even taken effect. It's not binding yet. It says tells us if everything revolves around the keys, would you say the following meal? What I'm not renting you a house. You're not interested in renting a house. I'm going away and I ask you to watch my keys for me. I want to leave my keys in your house for safekeeping. It says tells us a new chumra. Hifkid Adam Avtech Beisla Tzol Adam Acher. So maybe the person who's holding on to the keys has to b'dikas chametz. He's the one who has the keys. So Tai says that's ridiculous. Ainu chayef and nifka lepotko. Aladavke kisherotzel ha'achzik b'bayez v'kinoso. The only time Mesiras Avtech makes sense is if the guy is ot, he's about to enter the house. He's about to own the house. He's about to rent the house. So then he can argue, even though he doesn't technically own it in terms of the monetary laws in terms of the imamidus, but since he's about to take over and he already has the keys, then Chazal slapped him with the chibidikas chomet. So the habit, somebody leaves me the keys in my house, I don't become chibidikas chomet in the house.
Yeah, just wouldn't that make sense just according to Tosfos just chatting to why we do bedika anyway? Meaning, according to Tosfos, you do bedika because you're afraid you might come to eat something. Not who has the ability to do it. If you don't have the keys to the house, you're not going to come to.
Right, it fits in perfectly. You're right, 100% right. This Tosfos is very much in sync with their theory that the whole goal of the Chumash is to prevent eating. So then, obviously, if you have access, that's a problem. You don't have access, no problem, right? So we have two very, very different approaches: the Gedolei Rishonim, Rashi, and Tosfos. what is the role of Mesiras Meftech? Is Mesiras Meftech a kinyan, or is Mesiras Meftech just simply the practically who has access to the house? So the Ran in the third of the Mamakamas begins to side with Tosfos. He disagrees with Rashi. He also asks the same questions Tosfos asks from the Gemara of Kama, that it would appear that Mesiras Meftech is not the kinyan proper. That but the Ran now takes a little bit of a switch, a little bit of a change, a little bit of a detour off of Tosfos' pshat. If you take a look, that it's the third line of the Ran, middle of the line, b'filu hachi amrinan, t'nihida asercha kano, says the Ran, when we speak about the socher potentially being chai with the gizchamet, he was already kona in the house. Means he already said in the book, there already was a transaction of schibus that was binding. What was that transaction? Look at the Bava, and look at the Gemara Kama. It was either kesef that was done, it was either shtar that was done, it was either chazak that was done. It was a real bona fide kinyan that was done. In addition to the kinyan having taken place, there was also a mesiras meftech. In the absence of a kinyan, the discussion doesn't even get off the ground, argues the Ran. So the nehid yasech hakanai, afilu hachi, kevin shabayi shamaskir, v'achamit shalo, says the Ran, of course there was a kinyan done. If there was no kinyan done, what are you talking about? What's the havnish v'havnina that I have to do with the gizchot? You can throw me out of the house in 10 minutes from now. I don't have any binding agreement. There was no rental agreement that's enforced yet in the Dinamamunus. Of course I don't have to do with the gizchot. So the whole Gemara is talking about, of course there was a kinyan. What was the kinyan? Kesef shtar chazaka. In addition to the kinyan, now we're talking about, was there also mesiras meftech? Because if there wasn't mesiras meftech, I can have all the rental agreements with Kleitel tomorrow. I can have all the kesef shtar chazakas. I can't get into the house. The Muslim meftech kodim yidalid kevan shekana kedinai. That's the key phrase, says the Ram. You already acquired it. Uvi yadal liyos yetiv nichnas ala sech leduch. And you have the ability of access. So the Ran almost combines together Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi said everything hinges upon kinyan schiras. The only determining factor is kinyan schiras. Rashi made that big leap of faith by saying mesiras meftech is a kinyan schiras. Tosfos says kinyan schiras is meaningless. The only factor, the only thing that matters is access. And the Ran says, well, they're both right. That kinyan schiras plus access is what creates the chiyav of b'digas chametz. The only thing is that the Ran disagreed with Rashi what constitutes a kinyan schiras. According to Rashi, Mesiras Meftech was a kinyan schiras. According to the Ran, Tosfos is right that a kinyan schiras requires one other factor. So is the Ran closer to Rashi, closer to Tosfos? Depends what your angle of closeness is. He's similar to Rashi that he's insisting there must be a formal halachically binding schiras in effect in order to make the Sechah Chayav. That's Chok Loyav. That's not negotiable. But he's closer to Tosfos in that the Mesiras Meftech isn't what's creating that. What's creating that is the pre-existing view of Mnei Mekezah Shtachah Zavah. So when all the dust settles, we have three approaches in the Gedalia Mishayim. What is the role of Mesiras Meftech? Everybody agrees, the bottom line is, the Mesiras Meftech take place before Yadal or after Yadal. Everyone agrees what it says in the Gemara. Mesiras Meftech is critical. According to Rashi, it's critical because it is the Kinyan HaSchiras. According to Tosfos, it's critical because you don't need Kinyan HaSchiras, you just simply need access. And according to the Ran, it's critical because you need access, but it's equally critical that there was a Kinyan HaSchiras that predated this discussion, i.e. the Kesef Shtar HaChazak. Rashi Shita still remains somewhat difficult because both Tosfos and the Ran did object to Rashi on the same grounds that there is no precedent in Chazal that Mesiras Meftech is a Kinyan HaSchiras. And if anything, there seems to be a precedent for Keret. If anything, there seems to be indications from the Mishnah and Kedushin, Gemara and Baba Kama, that Kesef, Shtar, and Chazakah are the ways to acquire land. We don't find anywhere. There's a whole Mishnah in the first Baruch Kedushin. There's a whole Sugya, half long in the first Baruch Kedushin, about the different ways to buy land. The Mishnah speaks about Kesef. The Gemara says, Menon Emili. The Mishnah speaks about Shtar, Menon Emili. Chazakah, Menon Emili. And nowhere does the Gemara say, oh, by the way, there's an additional kinyan. That additional kinyan is Mesiras Meftech. So we don't have a source for Mesiras Meftech. Not only do we not have a source, we're not sure what the mechanics of this would be. Like, what kind of a kinyan would this be? How would this even work conceptually? The Rashi Sheet is very, very difficult. So again, neither Tyson nor Ran have to contend with this question, because both of them, both Tosfos and the Ran agree that the Mesiyas of Tech is not the Kinyan Schiras. According to Tosfos, there is no Kinyan Schiras, and according to the Ran, there's a pre-existing Kinyan Schiras. But according to Rashi, who said the magic words in Asugyu, Kinyan Schiras, what exactly is going on? So, L'chora, one can begin to tackle Rashi by raising a very, very basic question. Namely, we're aware of the fact that there are two different halachic transactions that could take place with land, with a house, from the talis, and also we can limit it to land karka types of items for right now. Either one can sell the land, one can sell the house, which would be a permanent kind of an agreement, or one can rent the house. One could rent the land, same way if I'm a talis, and also I could sell the car, or I could rent, or I could lease the car. So up until now, we've almost been lumping the two together. We'll be saying, well, it's true, there are differences between a sale and a rental, but in terms of the method of quote-unquote acquisition, the method of transferring, so they're pretty much the same. That's what the Gemara said, that keser shtach hazaka by kinyin, keser shtach hazaka by schiras. Could we begin to separate between the two? Could we perhaps suggest that the two kinds of transactions are not identical to one another? That could it be that there are certain kinds of methods of transferring that may be acceptable for one, that may fall short in terms of the other? And if we're willing to go down that route, so then we may have a beginning of an answer for Shitas Rashi. When Rashi said those three magic words in Asugi, the Mesiyas Raftechos Kona, did Rashi really mean to say that it's Kona Legamre? Did Rashi mean to say that if I want to sell you a house, we do that by handing over the keys? Or did Rashi simply mean to say that if I want to rent you a house, we could use the handing over of the keys? Is there reason to believe, both in terms of text of the Gemara and in terms of conceptually, that Mesiyas HaMafteach may be a very, very good, valid way of creating a kinyan schiras to set into motion a rental agreement? And once the kinyan schiras has taken effect, so then I can't back out and you can't back out, but the same Mesiyas HaMafteach will be meaningless in terms of kinyan karka. Is there a reason to suggest that is not or not? So we really, really have to fine tune what such a possible difference would be, what the source for such a possible difference would be, what the conceptual source for such a distinction would be. So clearly this is the route that we're going to go. So this route is going to be presented to us by the Korban Nisano. We'll mention tomorrow. We'll pick it up in the fourth of the Ramah Kovas. Korban Nisano wrote a Peirush on the Rosh. At the bottom of the Rosh, Maseches Pesachim. So the Korban Nisano, the Gedolei Acharonim, is the one who begins this path for us of distinguishing between what standards are necessary vis-a-vis a kinyan, a mechira, the Olam Poed, in contrast to a kinyan schiras. So the Korban Nisano begins the ball rolling to explain Shittas Rashi. The Rashi never meant to say that Mesiyas HaMafteach is anything more than a kinyan schiras. It will not be effective for a kinyan the Olam Moed. And the stage that the Korban Nisano sets for us is now going to impact us and other kinyanim as well. Because once you accept this distinction, we haven't heard of this distinction yet, those in the Ran didn't buy into this. Once you accept this possible distinction, then you have to reevaluate other kinyanim, other methods of acquisition that play a role perhaps in one and not in the other. So this Korban Nisano is going to be used. This Korban Nisano is not limited just to some detailed Taptum Enuchas Mechiris Chometz, Enuchas Bechiris Chometz. This is something that's going to set the stage for a very, very lomdish distinction within the Nemamonos as to what the relation between a Mechir Liolam and a Kidin Schiris is all about. Hopefully tomorrow, so we'll pick up for the Korban Nisano and begin to see how this branches out to other areas of the Nemamonos.